Rebbe's words also have an effect on us now. So comes the question that if we have 43 years of Sichus of the Rebbe, and each of these Sichus is Choyim VeKayomim, where do you start? Do we start from Tov Shin Yud, Tov Shin Yud Gimel, Tov Shin Yud Aleph? Which Sichus do you take that is pertinent now, which we have to dwell on now? So we have another klal in Teda. The Teda tells us, Achroin Achrin Choviv. Whichever comes last is more precious, is more beloved, is more Choviv. So if we want to know in the whatever Sichus, what do we have to dwell on now that we came to a point where we don't have any new Sichus? So we have to just examine and study the Sichus that the Rebbe gave us. So on one hand, we have a klal that Divrei Tzaddikim Choyim VeKayomim, that every Sichus is a live Sichus and it's meaningful now today it was before. Then we don't know from all the 43 years. It's like taking a swim in the ocean. Where are you going to go? This way, that way? Where do you go? So that's why the second principle comes and tells us, Achren Achren Choviv. You take the Sichus that the Rebbe spoke in the later period of the time that he gave us Sichus, because those are the Sichus which were more Choviv by the Rebbe. And we examine what are those Sichus that the Rebbe spoke then. And those Sichus, not Chas V'Sholem, to push aside the other sichus, but a person could only do one or two things at a time. You know, the Rabbeim were able to do a few things at one time. There's the famous Meister with the Rebbe Marash, that the Rebbe Marash knew different languages. So he took four people and he gave them four different newspapers with different languages, with different contents. And he sat them down and he said each of them should read out loud simultaneously from each newspaper that he had. And after they finished reading it, so the Rebbe Marash repeated to each one what he told them in his language. So in other words, while they were reading, he was able to hear four things at one time. And I have to tell you a personal experience that I saw by the Rebbe. There was one time, two before Rosh Hashanah, so the Rebbe asked me to do something in his room, not to take it out of his room. So I was standing in the corner of the room, and I was doing what the Rebbe asked me to do. Then the Rebbe heard a knock on the door. So the Rebbe said that that's Rabbi Chodakov, so you should let him in. So I went over and I opened the door, and Rabbi Chodakov came in, and the Rebbe was sitting at his desk, and he was writing. So Rebbe Chodakov stood near the Rebbe, waiting that the Rebbe should finish what he was doing, because he didn't want to interrupt the Rebbe what he was doing. So as the Rebbe was writing, so the Rebbe says, "Nu, say what you have to say." So Rebbe Chodakov started to talk. So he thought that the Rebbe put the pen down and concentrated on what Rebbe Chodakov was telling him. And the Rebbe continued writing. So Rebbe Chodakov stopped for a minute, and the Rebbe said again, "Nu." So he continued. And there was a question that a woman had that she had to know whether to do this or so. And I was watching, the Rebbe was writing, and after Rebbe Chodakov finished his thing, the Rebbe continues writing, and the Rebbe tells Rebbe Chodakov, tell her she should do so and so. So here the Rebbe was concentrating while he was writing, and at that same moment he was listening to the question that this person had asked him, and while he was writing he answered that woman also. So Rebbe was able to do more than one thing at a time. He can have two machshavas, although there's a sikha from the Rebbe that the Rebbe said that the Rebbe Marash or the other Rebbes were able to have two machshavas at one time. But himself says, Alvai, I should be able to concentrate on one. but we know that the facts were different. But we people surely can only do one thing at a time. So we have to concentrate on one area, what to do, and we are in a quandary. What should we do? Should we do this or do that? Because all the Rebbe's words are Choyim VeKayomim. So that's why Bishas we learn the klal from Achren Achren Choviv. And we read in the Sichus itself what the Rebbe says over there. What is the Shlichus and what is the main purpose of our Aveda now? That has to become the concentration on which we have to concentrate everything that we have in that area. And when we learn the Sichus, we know that the Rebbe spoke about two major things. One thing was the Inyan of Avas Yisroel and Achdus Yisroel. And the second thing was the Rebbe wrote in the Sichus of Chai Yisore, of Toshin and Beis, when he spoke to the Shluchim. So the Rebbe says over there that the Ikar Aveda today is to be Mechen, to prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Smei Mashiach Tzedkenu. And then the Rebbe writes over there, Nochazach, he says in that Sikha, that all the pu'ulas, all the things that we do, and all the mitzvahs that we do, have to be the kavanah that through this mitzvah we're going to bring closer to Bias HaMashiach. Although you're not supposed to make a, there's a whole shaila in Poskim if you're allowed to make a mitzvah for Zgula. And here the Rebbe says befeidish that all the pu'ulas and all the miftoyim and all the mitzvahs that a person do, hakavonah shalem tiyah lekari velazares as Bias Mashiach tzidkenu. So if we want to know what is our aveda at this point, what the Rebbe left us with, what he wants us to do and what he wants us to develop, that's the inyan, what the Rebbe spoke in the last sichas. And in those sichas we have to find the devar of Choy Mekayomim. People come and tell us that the sicha was maybe for the time when the Rebbe was alive and the Rebbe's not here now, maybe that's different. So that's why the Chazal came and they told us beforehand that you should know that Divrei Tzadikim is not only Choyim but Ekayomim. And the only one who could change it is only the one who gave that sicha. And so long that that person doesn't say that the things have changed, it has to remain that way. We have now a lot of situations where people come and ask questions that 2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they asked the Rebbe whether they should do this and that, and the Rebbe told them yes or no, and the Rebbe told them not to do it. Maybe the circumstances are now different than they were before, and therefore now we should be able to do something else. I said, Gesund today, if you want to do it, but he asked me, you don't know the real reason why the Rebbe told you no. Maybe the Rebbe had other kavanas that you don't even know why the Rebbe told you not to do it. Because you never know what it is. As the, I don't know if I told you the story, with, which was already also famous, that there were two people who asked the same question about... Within 24 hours, one person the Rebbe told not to sell the monetary money that he had from another country in comparison to the American dollar. And the next morning, he tells the second person that he should sell it. And they call me up. Maybe you didn't get the answers right. Maybe this one is wrong, maybe that one is wrong. Maybe this is right, maybe that's right. It worked out that that's the way it was. This, they didn't know why the Rebbe told them not to sell, yes to sell. This one found out that the Rebbe told him to sell because now that he had cash, he was able to buy a business. Had he not had that cash, he would never have bought the business and he wouldn't make the money. And this one, if he would have sold, he would have lost his money. So we never know why the Rebbe says yes or no. So long we don't hear from the Rebbe directly, he's going to make the change. I don't think that, and unless the Rabbanim, the Rebbe said that Rabbanim could make changes, that's something else. But a person on his own should not do it. Why? Because Divrei Tzadik Chayim Kayomim. But when it comes to the Rebbe's Sichas, where he clearly indicates and he shows, so to say, with his finger exactly what he wants Chassidim to do, that surely can't be changed. Only the Rebbe could change that. And so long that that wasn't changed by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said that this is the Iker Aveda now, this is what Chassidim have to get together and put all their koiches and concentrate with everything they have on these points that the Rebbe left us with, saying that this is the Iker Aveda today. And that's when we will prove that we'll see that the Rebbe's words are Choyim V'Kayomim. L'Chaim, L'Chaim.
L'Chaim, L'Chaim.
What time is it?
10:41. Thank you.
Where he speaks about the histalkos of Yaakov Avinu, and he says makes a very interesting statement. Samach Tzedek says over there that it is important to speak and praise the tzaddik who passed away, because through this praise you bring the tzaddik back to this world. Although he says that the Zohar says that ishtaka by halma, that the tzaddik is here anyway, but by speaking about his praise, about his greatness, this in itself fills the void of what took place with the fact that the tzaddik went away. And that's why he writes over there, brings down from a medrash, why they speak in Parshas Vayechi, you speak about the greatness of Yaakov Avinu. That's why it is important, in addition to the Esim Inyan of telling a sefer of a tzaddik, but it's important for us in our present situation that each time we speak about the accomplishments of the Rebbe, the mosim of the Rebbe, the pu'ulus of the Rebbe, everything the Rebbe did, according to Samach Tzedek, this is another channel through which we connect ourselves with the Rebbe. I want to tell you a story that I read in a sefer. I can't find the sefer now. A maisa with the Rebbe Rashab, and I'll tell you later why I'm telling you this maisa. This is a maisa that there was a Hasidic shtot where there was a young man who just married, but he was not shaychis to Hasidus. He wasn't a chassid, and he was a mechanic in that time, whatever, it was a mechanic in a factory, and he lost his job. He got married and he remained without parnosa, and he was looking for parnosa and he couldn't find one. Some of the chassidim told him, pick yourself up and go to the Rebbe Rashab and get an eitz and a bracha from him. He said, what will the Rebbe know from me and my mechanics and my business? What will he know about those things? At any rate, he saw that days are passing and he's not having any panasa, so he decided, what can happen? He'll go, we'll find out. But he had no money, so they put together a sum of money and they gave it to him, and they told him, go to Lubavitch. He came to Lubavitch and he went to the Gab and he registered himself and he wants to go in for Yechidus. He went in for Yechidus and he tells the Rebbe Rashab what his situation is. So the Rebbe Rashab tells him that you and your wife should travel to this and this city. Your wife should start making hats and you should sell the hats. And he gave him a bracha, he should have atzlocha. He came back to the city, he went to the chassidim and started screaming at them, I'm a mechanic, I know nothing about hats, I don't even know where that city is, I have to go look for the city. So here the Rebbe tells me I should go to that city and my wife should start sewing hats, a hair and a hin. But the chassidim, if the Rebbe says so, you have to do it. At any rate, it took a little time and they convinced him and his wife that they're going to go. Again, they had no money, they put together amount of money, they traveled to the city, but they had no money, so they went to the end of the city where the stores were cheaper, the rental. And they rented a store over there, but then they thought that if they're not going to be in the center of the city, who's going to know that they have hats? And who's going to come and buy them the hats? So on one hand, they had no alternative because they had no money to pay the rent that you have to pay in the center of the city. On the other hand, not to open a store, the Rebbe told them to come here. So they decided they're going to open a store in the end of the city, whatever's going to happen. His wife sat down and she bought the material and she made hats. One day, another day, a week, 2 weeks, one customer comes for a hat, but it's nothing to talk about. So they're both sitting and crying. Why did we listen to the Rebbe? We spent our time in the inn. So they decided to give themselves a chance another 2 weeks. If during these 2 weeks nothing happens, boom. They pick themselves up and going back home, or whatever happens, happens. train. The second week, they're sitting in the store. A big coach, beautiful coach, pulls up and stops in front of the store. And they see someone dressed as a very elegantly, comes out of the in the coach and walks into the store. He says, "I see you're selling hats. I'm going back to my wife. I want to bring her a present." So he buys one hat and another hat. He bought almost all the hats. They were afraid to give him a big price because he may not want to buy it. So they gave him. So they said, "That is that really the price it's selling for?" So they said, "You're buying it wholesale." He said, "No, give me each hat separately." The violet, this person realized that the fella is very depressed. So he says, "Tell me, what's your problem? Why are you depressed?" So he told him his whole story. What happened to Leeds now? So this fella says, "Oh, you're a mechanic." He says, "I have a brother who has a factory, and he has two machines that for the last half a year, nobody knows how to fix it. And if you're a mechanic, maybe you'll be able to fix it." He says, "I'll give you a note, and take this note to my brother, and I'm introducing you, and he will let you take care of the machines and see what happens." So he took the note, and this fella gave him extra money that he should have traveling expenses, and he tells him, "Travel to this in the city, and when you come into the company, wherever it is, show the people this note, they'll see my handwriting, and they'll take you into my brother." He got there, they took him in, so the brother brings him into the factory, and he says, "This is it, let me see what you know." The guy got to work, and in 2 days, both machines were working. So the owner of the company said that, "If you're such a smart man, you know so much about machines, I want to hire you, that you should become the manager of my whole company. So give up your hat store and come over here." Now he came back after a period of time. He came back to his city. So the chassidim tell him, "No, you see that the Rebbe was right. But it had to go through a certain channel." Now we know of situations where the rabbeim are doing things which they don't ask the people that they have to do it. The rabbeim, the famous meisen with this blind girl in a foreign country. I suppose you know the meisen that the Rebbe told Rabbi Chodakov a number of years ago. He should call up a certain rav and tell him that he should travel to a certain city. So Rabbi Chodakov asked the Rebbe, "What if the Rav asked me, what do I have to do there?" So the Rebbe said, "When he gets there, he'll know what he has to do." So Rabbi Chodakov calls up this Rav and he tells him that, "I just got a phone call from the Rebbe, and the Rebbe wants that you should go to this and this city, and you should be there." He says, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "I asked the same question. The Rebbe said, when you'll get there, you'll know." "When should I leave?" So Rabbi Chodakov tells him, this is the Rav told us, the Rabbi Chodakov told him, "I think you should leave right away." Because the Rebbe didn't say you should leave tomorrow or later. "I mean, leave right away." And he picked himself up and he flew down to that city and didn't know anybody over there, and he went into the Beis Medrash, into the shul, to sit and learn and see what develops. He comes into the shul, it's an empty shul, and he waits. Suddenly, the door opens up and he sees that they're wheeling in a young woman, and she asked that she should be taken to the Holy Ark, to the Aron Kodesh, and they should open it up for her. She was blind, she didn't see. And he hears the way this girl or this woman is saying to Hashem, "I'm a Jewish woman and I want to remain Jewish. Because of my sickness, the only place I could be is in this Catholic place. They told me that if I want to stay there, God forbid, I have to convert. And I don't want to convert. So if you are a God and you want a Jewish soul not to get lost, show me a sign that you want me to remain Yiddish, Jewish." The Rav was sitting in the shul and he heard everything that transpired, and he said to himself, "Now I know what I'm here for." So he went over to her and he said that, "I'm a rabbi in this country and I will try to help you in any way possible." Oh, so she said she got her sign. Here, the Rebbe did not wait for her intervention to come. The Rebbe did the Mephis without outside intervention. In other words, if we examine the different types of miracles that the Rabbeim performed, you could divide it into two categories. There's one category where the Rabbeim do things on their own, without the existence or without any intervention of the person. And sometimes you have to have that the person should show his amunah and through his amuna, he will get his maifis. The famous story, I suppose you heard the maysa, it's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, that he had a chosid that one time came to him, and the chosid came in to say goodbye, so the Baal Shem asked him, will you do me a favor and take this letter to another chosid of mine who's living in a city not far from you? So the chosid said, it would be my pleasure to be the Rebbe Shaliach. What could be greater than being a Shaliach on the Rebbe? So the Baal Shem Tov sat down, he wrote up a letter, and he put it into an envelope, he sealed it, and he put down the name of that person to whom the letter had to be delivered. So this chosid got the bracha from the Rebbe. He came back home and he thought to himself, he'll be home for a day and the next day he'll rest. He'll go to the shlichus of the Baal Shem and give that person the letter. Meantime, he got tied up. He was a wealthy man. We had a lot of business. He got tied up with his business and he forgot the ganze meise that he had a shlichus to go to this person. And a few days later, he had the letter in his pocket, and he bent over one time, and the letter fell out and fell into a box. He didn't even notice it. And the years went on. And meantime, the Baal Shem was nostalgic, passed away, and this Yid started losing all his earnings till he became a very poor person. It came so poor that he had to sell anything that he had in order to feed his children, to have food. So he went to one box and to another box. Finally, he comes to a box. And he was shocked. The letter that the Baal Shem gave him 12, 13 years ago is laying in this box. So he says to himself, maybe this is the reason why I'm suffering, because I didn't fulfill what the Baal Shem told me. So he decided he'll take the letter now. He takes the letter and he travels to the city and he comes to this person. He has a beautiful mansion with doormen around. And he goes over and they ask him, yes. So he says, go tell the Balabos, whatever he called him, I have a message to him from the Baal Shem Tov. They don't know any Chochmas. They went into the Balabos and they tell him that there's a person outside saying he has a message to the Baal Shem Tov. He says, that must be out of his mind. The Baal Shem has passed away so many years ago. Where does he have a message from me from the Baal Shem Tov? So they come out and they say he understood. So he says, here, take this envelope and show it to him. The doorman comes back and he brings in the envelope to his balabos. The balabos says, yes, it's the handwriting of the Baal Shem Tov. So he got up immediately and he says, let this person in because he has a message for me from the Baal Shem. At any rate, they let the person in and he sat him down, and this second person who received the letter opens up the letter, and it's dated a week before the letter was delivered to him. That means 13 years later, and the Baal Shem writes, the person who's bringing you this letter, at this stage, he became a very poor person, and he doesn't have any livelihood, and being that you are, thank God, in a good position, I want you to share some of your goodies with this person, so to say, to help him out. The Baal Shem Tov, and there's a whole explanation from the Baal Shem's brother-in-law, Reb Gershon, why the Baal Shem Tov was able to do that. Because the Baal Shem Tov was an Olam HaYetzira, Olam HaBriya, and in that world you could see years ahead. With you don't have to, you're not limited by this time. What happened over here, this chosid, not only didn't he do any intervention to get the Mephis, he just was the opposite in a certain sense. But the truth of the matter is not, because the Baal Shem Tov made that he should forget it. Because if he would have gone to this person and brought him the letter, and let's say the letter was dated Tov Kuf Chov Zayin, and the letter was written in Tov Kuf Yud Zayin 10 years before, and the person would come to this person, the Baal Shem Tov wrote me a letter dated Tov Kuf Chov Zayin, because it's only Tov Kuf Yud Zayin. So the Baal Shem Tov made that he should forget about the letter. The Baal Shem Tov made that the letter should get lost for that period of time, because it wasn't pertinent, it wasn't applicable at that time. But here you have a mephis that the Baal Shem did, not only without this person having to push a munit that he should do something, just to the contrary, to do the opposite. And then you have this mice that I told you about the Baal Shem Tov, where you saw that about with the Rebbe Rashab, you had this person that he had to have a moon in the Rebbe Rashma Satan that he's going to do it. So when you divide the mofsim of the Rabbeim, there are two different categories. There's one category where the Rebbe did it on his own, and there's one category where the Rebbe wants that people should do something. Why in certain instances it's this way and why it's another way, the same thing we find by the Eibishter. B'shas Avraham Avinu went out being mefarsum al kuz ba'ilam. He went spreading Yiddishkeit, and then Nimrit came and took him and threw him into the Kifshan Eish, into the furnace, and the Eibishter saved him. There was no intervention on the part of Avraham Avinu. The haraya we have that by Dasori Harugim Malchus, they also had Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Akiva especially had Mesiras Nefesh for Yiddishkeit, and over there the Eibishter did not save him, because the Eibishter had other reasons why he wanted. When it comes to the Esam Makis by Mitzrayim, by each of the Esam Makis, the Eibishter says either Meishen Iteis Yotcho, that you should raise your hand with a stick, or tell Aaron that he should raise his hand. If the Eibishter could do a Meifes, a miracle, like he did by Avraham Avinu, what did he raise Rabbeinu's hand? The Eibishter wanted to make that the water should change into blood, so without raising his hand. The Eibishter wanted that the Tzvadeya should come up. What do you have to have a raise his hand? So we see by Hashem that there are also two types of the way the Eibishter did Oisus and Meifesim. Some he did without the, so to say, the partaking of the individual, and some he did dafke when the individual did something, when he added his own hand. As Rebbe always quotes the Medrash, that there was one Tanner that he was very poor and he wanted to bring a present to the Beis HaMikdash. So the only thing he could bring was a big stone, so he couldn't carry it. So the Eibishter sent down Malachim that they should pick up the stone for him. And but the Malachim told him, put your finger into it. So all the Mefarshim, the Rebbe always says, what would the pinky go into hell for such a heavy stone? But they wanted it should be that he's part of the carrying. That sometimes you have to have part and sometimes not. In our present situation, when the Rebbe is doing the Mefarshim, we could say, being that the Rebbe can't tell us now what to do, so the Mefarshim will be like where the Rebbe does things without our intervention. But maybe it's not so. Being that the Rebbe left us instructions what he wants us to do, maybe when we will do those things and the Rebbe will see that we're fulfilling what he wants to do, that will make us a keli that we should do the things. Sometimes we have to do certain things what the Rebbe told us to do, which the only way to do it is only mitzad amunah. We don't have any understanding how we're going to carry it out. I once told this maisa. There was one time a Fabrengen that the Rebbe at a Fabrengen asked to do a certain thing. The next day, on Sunday, the Rebbe came from home, and when I was by the Rebbe asked me what was done. And I had nothing to answer him, because nothing was done. So the Rebbe tells me, at one time he says, now even if they're going to do it, it's too late. It's too late. Then I had another occasion where the Rebbe asked the Chassidim, not all the Chassidim, a certain group, that they should do a certain thing. When it came Sunday morning, they came to me, they told me that if the Rebbe is going to ask you, you'll answer the Rebbe that we tried doing it, it was very difficult, and we couldn't do it. But they didn't even try. They figured out it's going to be too difficult, they didn't do it. So when the Rebbe came and he asked me what happened, so I told him that they figured out that it's too difficult, and therefore they didn't do it. So the Rebbe tells me, and when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, do you think that because Moshe lifted his hand, so that's what really made the water part? That was only the beginning. The Eibishter made Neshavta V'Ruchachok. The Eibishter made that the wind should separate the water or bring it back. But all he wanted that the Moshe Rabbeinu should do a little bit. He said, had they done the little bit that they had to do, so all the obstacles would have been removed. And he can't understand why they were reluctant to do that little bit, and he felt sorry why it wasn't done. He said, because now it's too late already. So we see from the Rebbe that there are two things, that sometimes he does things on his own. He doesn't have to wait when this person happened over there or other similar situations where we know what the Rebbe accomplished without the intervention of a certain person. And sometimes he wants us to do something. Being that we don't know what the Rebbe wants now, so we have to try both. So we have to try to go to the Eil and ask the Rebbe, he should give us brachas. And on the other hand, we have to try to do certain things that the Rebbe told us, especially as I said before, the Achron Achron Chovim, those things that the Rebbe asked us to do, that maybe will become the Keli, where the Rebbe will give us the Nyonim that we have to have. I read a Maisa in a Bichol about a Tzaddik, not from Lubavitch, but one of the Amolik Tzaddikim, one of the Prelish big Rebbes, that he was once had a Tish. And at his tish, came a very wealthy chosid, very big vir. During the tish, the Rebbe tells this chosid, at those times there were no faucets, if you needed water, you had to go to the well and bring water. So he tells this chosid, go to the well and bring some water. When he brought the water into the room, the Rebbe tells him, pour it out over here. 10 minutes later, he tells him, go bring some more water. He brought more water, and he tells him, pour it out again. And a third time. After he did it a third time, he said, now you can sit down. Shane, he finished the tish, he said, the next day, the chosid went into the Rebbe, and he got the brocha to go home. The Rebbe says, you should have good absurdus. He comes back to his city, he sees there's a big tumult. What's the tumult? There was a big sreifa. There was a fire in the city. And one of the only houses that remained intact was his house. So he asked them, when did this happen, the fire? So they told him it happened yesterday, the day before yesterday. He said, was it at night, during the day? It was exactly during that time when this Rebbe told him that he should go bring the water and he should pour the water. Because the Rebbe told him to pour the water, he poured the water. The Rebbe, with that action, what this chassid did, the Rebbe saved his house. If the Rebbe wanted to save the house, like there's a maaser that my shver told me, that in Petersburg, there is a house where the Alter Rebbe was after he came out of Tvisa, so there was a house where the Alter Rebbe stayed. He said that house is still intact. All the houses around it were destroyed. And everybody knows that this is the house where the Rebbe stood. The same thing is, on the way, so it was Erev Shabbos, everybody knows the Maisa, that the Alter Rebbe didn't want to travel after the half a day after Chatzos. And the horse pegged and the axle those, and Alter Rebbe was under a tree where he stood Shabbos. That tree is still standing till this very day. Why? Because the tzaddik was there, that Alter Rebbe was there. The house where Alter Rebbe was, he was there. So this tzaddik, he wanted to save the house. He had other ways of saving the house, but he wanted the intervention of the chosid, that the chosid should do something, and whatever the reason was, we don't know, but he needed the intervention of the chosid. So there are sometimes when the Rebbe told us to do certain things, as I told you in the Maaser, he wanted, the Rebbe could have carried out that thing, what he wanted on Shabbos, without us, without the intervention of that group of people, because the Rebbe was able to do whatever he wanted. But as the Rebbe said, he wanted to be mezaka the yidden that they should do it. The fact that they didn't do it, we lost on it. At this point of the game, that we don't know, because we don't have instructions of the Rebbe what to do, if we have to do this or that, so we have to work on all fronts. So we have to ask the Rebbe that he should perform the miracles, whatever we have to have, with our intervention. On the other hand, being that it could be that we do have to do something, so we have to take what the Rebbe instructs us to do, and through that we will get to do what we have to do. I told the Maisa with the Rebbe Marash, and there's Maisas of the Mittler Rebbe also, where the Mittler Rebbe would tell people to travel to certain cities and they didn't know why, and when they came there, they were saving lives of people, they were helping people. Those people that were helped didn't know that they're being helped by the Rebbe. They didn't do anything, but the Rebbe saw from far how he has to help them, that's how he helped them. So as we go through our history, we see that we have these two categories of mufsim. And as I say, that we have to think to ourselves, how are we going to, so to say, be zoiche, to see these things happening? So we have to do on both ends. No, l'chaim, l'chaim.
that Rebbe was a Rebbe. At that time, the Rebbe used to come himself into the Maskiris, into the Secretariat, to bring in the answers that he wanted to give people, and he would take the letters that he had. There was a special box, the Rebbe's mailbox, where people put the letters. He would come in and take the mail himself and bring in the letters himself. So one time, I was standing in the office, Dr. Mendel was on the phone, and I was sitting at the desk doing my work, and the Rebbe came in. He put down the batch of answers that he wanted that we should give people the answers, and he took his mail. And as he walked out, he remained standing by the door. And he was listening to Dr. Mendel's conversation. So the Rebbe told him to stop. And the Rebbe asks him, "Was kum tofor? What's happening over here?" So Dr. Mendel tells him that he has a woman on the phone who wrote a letter to the Rebbe that her husband is very sick. And the Rebbe answered her in a letter that she should start lighting, if she's not lighting the candles out of Shabbos, she should start lighting the candles and the husband will get better. So she's calling up. She doesn't understand. Her lighting candles are going to make her husband better. What's the connection? If the Rebbe tells you should take a certain medicine, the husband should do something, he understands. So the Rebbe said, "And what are you doing?" The Mendel. So he says, "I'm trying to explain to her that she has to listen to what the Rebbe says." So the Rebbe says, "Zog dir, was ist ihre Geschäften? What is it her business? She asked me a question, so she relied on me. If she relied on me, tell her," in those words, "she will light the candles as if it's in the licht that the man wearing gesund." She doesn't understand the connection. That's not her business. She will light the candles, her husband gets well. She doesn't see the relationship between lighting candles and her husband getting better. That's not her business. What was over here, what the Rebbe wanted? First of all, the Rebbe wanted to light candles. The Rebbe wanted to bring out on her an inyan from the munas sadikim, that she should believe that if a tzaddik says something, you have to believe what the tzaddik is saying, and therefore you have to do it. And this is why the Rabbeim, in fact, it says in Pedik that there are 48 things with which you could get, you buy Torah, whatever the explanation is over there. It goes on to speak about Tupul Chavedim and about Dibur Chavedim and all the different things. And one of the things it says over there is Amunas Chachomim. So everybody asks the question, if he's speaking about Torah, which is understanding, Emunah is beyond understanding. So with Emunah's Chachomim, I'm going to understand Torah. Now the Torah says, as Chassidus explains, that the only way you could accept and understand Torah, because you have Emunah in the Chachomim, that whatever the Chachomim said is true. Because if you're going to doubt what the Chachomim say, so you're going to start figuring out, maybe they made a mistake here, maybe they made a mistake. Well, what do you learn from here? That in order to get Torah, you have to have Emunah's Chachomim. This is why it says in Chassidus, we say every day in the davening from the Shira, that Vaya Yisrael Zayoda Gedoyla Sheros Hashem B'Mitzrayim. Then it says Vayiru Ha'omes Hashem and Vayamina B'Hashem V'Meisha Avdei. So Chassidus asks the question, it says Vaya Yisrael Zayoda Gedoyla, and from that it was Vayiru Hashem, they had fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We understand, they saw the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what they wish to did, that cast a fear on them. But what does the Vayamina come over? They saw with their own eyes, and so they understood how the Eibush is big. So why do we say Vayaminu Bashem? So Chassidus says that from this Vayar, what they saw, how great the Rebbe is, the Eibush is, they first realized how much more there is to him that they don't understand, and that made that the Emunah should get greater. They had Emunah in Hashem before also, because that's where they came out of Mitzrayim. And that's why they did what the Eibush told them to do. But by seeing the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this made them realize that the Eibush is even more what they said. And this is what I once told this Meiser, that Reb Shmuel Levitin told us, that Reb Motel Chernobyl, you all heard Reb Motel Chernobyl, he's one of the biggest tzaddikim, he was a great-grandfather of the Friedrich Rebbe. So he was once sitting by Fabrengen, and he was explaining to Chassidim the greatness of the 36 hidden tzaddikim, the Lamed Vav tzaddikim Nestorim. So one of the Chassidim, the Elter Chassidim, tells the Chernobyl Rebbe, maybe you would point out to us the Lama Vav Tzaddik, you speak so highly about him, we want to see what they look like, how do they act, how do they behave. So the Chernobyl Rebbe, the immortal Chernobyl, tells them that you're looking at one. You're looking at a Tzaddik Nista. So the Chassid says, Rebbe, you're a Tzaddik Goli. Everybody knows you're a Tzaddik. So I'll have to say the expression that Reb Shmuel told us, what the Chernobyl Rebbe told him, and I'll try to explain it in English. And he said, "Ochen vei, wat gewenste eich, as mir zene mehr nisch was ihr zetten uns. What pity it would be to you that we are only what your eye sees in us." There was as much as you see the greatness of the Rebbe. There's so much behind this, hidden and concealed, that the Rebbe was never showing us, and the Rebbe never showed it to us. And what pity would be on us that if this is only what the Rebbe was. So he said that this, you want to see a Tzaddik Nista, he's a Tzaddik Nista, because as much as you see of him, it's only, so to say, the tip of the ocean, the tip of the iceberg of what you see in him. There's a sicha from the Friedrich Rebbe that he said that there's a Gemara that says machshava me'elis, that the machshava that a tzaddik has an effect. So there was one chassid sitting by the table, and he asked the Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, does the person that the Rebbe thinks about, does he realize, does he feel that the Rebbe's feeling, knows about him? So the Rebbe asks him, "Wo bist du gewesen vor a Jahren?" And where were you last year? Last year he was in Russia, and he never thought that he would have the ability to get out. And the Rebbe asked him, "How you know why you're here? You're here because somebody thought about you. So you want to know if machshava meyer?" In fact, what happened over here? This chassid didn't even know that the Rebbe is thinking about him. In other words, not always does the Rebbe show what he's doing. If all of us remember, I think that the label Bistritsky should remember, that Hishan Rabbe Tovshin Lametes, that was a year after the Rebbe had his heart attack. And the Rebbe stood by the sukkah to give out the lekka for those who didn't have Erev Yom Kippur. And after an hour passed, so we made up that we're going to cut the line in order that the Rebbe shouldn't have to stand long. The Rebbe realized that some kunst was made over here, because he would stand 3-4 hours, and here after 1 hour they stopped the line. So the Rebbe asked me what happened over here. So I didn't know what to say. I said, since Rocky mentioned, there are no people. So the Rebbe said, "Sekenazine," and then he told me like this. These are the words he used. There's a time that we have to be hidden, and we are hidden. There's a time that we have to be begolui, we have to be revealed, and nobody should stop that. Now is the time that I have to be revealed, and you have no right to take that away now. You know, the Rebbe himself said that there are times that he has to be hidden, and nobody has to know what he's doing. And he's doing his, he's definitely caring about the Rebbe. Frita Rebbe said that the Rebbe Rashab had times during the day that he would take the names of Chassidim and go through them and stop and think about this chosid and stop and think about this chosid. And the Frita Rebbe said the reason why he did that was because that chosid was in need of a certain situation, and by the Rebbe thinking about him, he helped him. Although the chosid didn't even know that the Rebbe is thinking about him. But that's the tzaddik nista, the chedek nista, that the Rebbe has. What he was thinking, taking care of, was without the knowledge of the people. So we have over here three situations, actually. You have over here a meifes that the Rebbe does when he says that something has to be done and without the intervention of somebody. Then you have where he asks for people to contribute something. And then you have a point where he doesn't even ask somebody to do something. He does everything on his own. And I think I told you last time the Maisav about a certain yid that he called up. You should have it on the tape. I don't think that Reb Shmuel heard this Maisav. There was one time, I'll say it in English. There was one time a Mitzvah Shabbos that a chosid called me that I should go to the Rebbe and tell the Rebbe that his wife is very sick and he needs a bracha. So I told him, I don't know if I'll be able to see the Rebbe Saturday night, but if it'll be Sunday morning, I'll do it Sunday morning. And Saturday night, I wasn't able to see the Rebbe, and I went into the Rebbe Sunday morning. When I went into the Rebbe, so the Rebbe tells me, ask Rabbi Chodakov to come into my room. So Rabbi Chodakov went in, he comes out, and he asked me that I should connect him by phone with this, with that person. And he spoke to him a few minutes, and then that person calls me back, and he says, I'm sure that you're interested in knowing what happened over here. He says, you went into the Rebbe and you told the Rebbe what I asked you, that my wife is very sick and she needs a bracha. Rebbe Chodakov called in, the Rebbe called Rebbe Chodakov, and he told him like this. He didn't tell, the Rebbe didn't tell Chodakov that I told him. The Rebbe told him, I had an idea, I was informed that this person called, that his wife is very sick. Call him up and tell him that 5:30 Shabbos morning, she was in a very critical condition where the doctors gave up on her. You think that the doctors helped her. You should know that we thought about her, and that's why she's still alive. And the Rebbe said to Rebbe Chodakov, tell this chosid, I'm not out to show my greatness, but I have a special reason why I want that he should know that I knew. And the Rebbe told him the reason, but he told him not to tell anyone that reason. So the chosid told me, I'll tell you to this point, but don't ask me why the Rebbe told it to me. But this much I'm telling you, that without anyone telling the Rebbe, and it's like, how can it happen like that? Because 2 o'clock in the morning he was called that on Friday night, and he picked up the phone because he knew it was Bekuach Nefesh, that the doctor called him and told him that your wife is seriously sick, and if you want to say goodbye to her, you have to come now and say goodbye to her, because maybe in a few hours you won't have her. And 5:30 in the morning, the doctor said that the next few minutes it's all over. And nobody told this to the Rebbe. The Rebbe was sitting home in his house, and the Rebbe was looking far away in a distant city. Over there, not the father and the husband knew, not the wife knew, not the children knew that the Rebbe is thinking about him. And here the Rebbe Gepravat HaMeifis without anybody knowing. Like we said before, that the tzaddikim, the tzaddik nister in him picked her up, and he did. So we have a third category of the way the Rebbe performs a meifes without even telling the person that he has to, what's going to happen. He just did it on his own. So this is what says in Chassidus, that after they saw they saw the greatness of the Eibishter, that brought him to say that there's a greater Amunah in the Eibishter, because he must have much more to him. The same thing is true by us. As much as we speak and hear so many great things and so many mufsim and so many things that the Rebbe did, we have to realize that this has to bring us to Amunah that the Rebbe had so much more to him. What is that important to know? First of all, because it has to be Amunah Tzaddikim. And the second of all, that there's so many things that the Rebbe is able to do for us, we shouldn't think that the Rebbe is limited only over here. There was one time a chosid. So he came to the Rebbe, and he asked the Rebbe that he has to have a bracha that his relative should come out of a certain country which we didn't let him out. So the Rebbe gave him a bracha. So he tells the Rebbe, Yechof Nor, I only hope that there won't be any malachim that I'm going to stand on the border and ask for a passport. And you will say that the Rebbe's bracha should be able to break all boundaries and all obstacles. So the Rebbe said he'll come out, and Taki, he came out. But this chassid was saying that the, just like you have guards, border guards in Kashmir, there may be the border guards upstairs also. So he said, I want you to be mevatel of those border guards also. The Rebbe's koyach is unlimited at all. And because we think about these things, it comes us to realize how much more we could expect that the Rebbe should do for us, and how much the Rebbe wants to do for us. But again, is there going to be a reciprocation on our part? And this is something that we have to think about when it comes to Yitzchak Kislev. What are we going to do to strengthen our his kashrus to the Rebbe in fulfilling what the Rebbe wants us to do? L'chaim, l'chaim. Tempted that the previous Rebbe told, and he writes that this mice that the Rebbe heard from the Mezritcha Magid, and I think that this mice is very appropriate for our times. The Rebbe says over there that the Rebbe told the mice that he heard from the Mezritcha Magid that in the year either Tov Kuf Tez Zayin or Tov Kuf Yud Zayin, a day or two before Erev Pesach, a number of Talmidei and Baal Shem Tov came to be together with the Baal Shem Tov for Pesach. And when they took the Mayim Shalonu, the Baal Shem Tov was in a more or less Simcha Dikah mood. Then when it came at night, they saw that the Baal Shem Tov became very depressed. And he called in a group of Talmidim, and he told them that they should prave tikkun chatzos, and if he will also prave tikkun chatzos, and if they detect that he fainted, they should start saying tilim till he will come back. So they did that. A short while after they started the tikkun chatzos, so they realized that the Baal Shem Tov stopped. So one of the Talmidei Baal Hashem went into the room, he came running out, and he said that the Baal Shem is lying on the floor, motionless, breathless, as if, Chas V'Shalom, he passed out. So they started saying Tehillim with more fervor. As the hours went on, there was no improvement by the Baal Shem Tov. In the meantime, more Talmidim came, and they saw what happened. So the Rebbe writes in the thing that the Rebbe said that they ran to the mikveh and they came and also started saying Tehillim. And then finally, in the early morning hours, the Baal Shem Tov started to breathe again. And he came back to himself, but he was very weak. And the Baal Shem said that he wants to be taken to the mikveh. So they had to carry him to the mikveh. When they came back, so the Baal Shem Tov said that it's Erev Pesach in the morning, and he's going to daven for the Omid, which he never did before. And he told all the Talmidim that the Shas, they daven, the kavanas that they have should be the kavanas of Rosh Hashanah. Erev Pesach, kavanas of Rosh Hashanah. But the Baal Shem said it, he did it. They daven, and the Baal Shem Tov davened with bikhiyas. After the davening, they got ready to go to the matzah bakery to bake the matzah. And the Baal Shem Tov was in a very, very depressed mood, which he never did by baking the matzahs. When it came to daven mincha, he told them again that he's going to daven for the Yomid, and that they should again have the kavonis of Rosh Hashanah. After the mincha, you say the Korban Pesach. So you say by the Korban Pesach there was bechiyas on asof, which they never saw by the Baal Shem, such a thing. Then it came to the Seder. So by the Seder, the meaning by the Baal Shem was that after each paragraph, the Baal Shem would stop and give explanations. Not only did he not give any explanations, but he was crying when he said Agoda, which by them was a big, big chiddush. And this is how the Seder went on, till suddenly the Baal Shem Tov stopped and he started laughing. And the Alter Rebbe said, the Maggid said, he couldn't stop laughing. He was laughing and laughing and laughing. And then finally he stopped, and he told the Talmidim, I suppose you want to know what transpired. So let me tell you. He said a day or two ago, he saw
a kitrig on a certain settlement of Yidden of 400 families, which Chas v'Sholom were going to be annihilated, Hoyalisiyah. And the Baal Shem said that he did everything that he could to save those people, and he wasn't successful. He wasn't able to succeed in that. So he decided that he's going to rely on the Midas HaBitochen, that he's going to have Bitochen on Hashem, that Hashem is going to save them. He doesn't know how or what, but that's what he's going to do. He said, in middle of the Seder, in middle of the Seder, he saw that in a far off city there is a man and a wife without children who were traveling the Seder. It came to the paragraph where it says B'chol HaBein HaYo'ira HaTashlichuhu, that Pura gave instructions that all the bonim have to be thrown into the Nile River. So the woman started telling her husband, if I was the Eibishter, I would not act that way. I would have more rachmonos on my children. I would act like a father should act with his children. And she started saying that the Eibishter should take the children out of Golos. It's enough for him to be in Golos. If he's a father, he has to act like a father. And the husband was trying to justify by the Eibishter was doing, saying that the children maybe are not behaving right. And she said, regardless how children behave, a father has to have rachmonos and pity and compassion, and he has to take him out of Golos. So Baal Shem said, when this was going on, so in heaven became a big tumult. There was one group of malachim that said that this woman is 100% right, and this is therefore the Eibishter has to have rachmonis and mele to be mevatel the gezeira. Then there was another group of malachim that came and said, hey, what's this? He writes over there, Aisha Pshuta, a woman is going to have complaints like Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who is she? What kind of business is this? And the Baal Shem tells his Talmidim, when you saw me in this terrible mood, I was afraid that those malachim may come out the victors. And then mainly we lost everything. Then he says, as they went on with the Seder, they finished the four cups. And Ketoiv Leiv HaMelech Bayoyin, it says in the Megillah, that after you drink four cups of wine, you become Freilacher. So the Baal Shem said they became Freilach. And the husband and the wife got up and they started dancing. They started to dance. There was a very big simcha l'mayla, that even the malachim who were against her, that this woman got up after she had all those complaints, she got up to dance, so she's right. And the Eibishter was mevatel the gezeira. So the Baal Shem said, he took out his handkerchief and he put it on the table, and he told each Talmud to touch the handkerchief, and as they touched the handkerchief, they were able to see the way this couple was still dancing. And they were able to see l'mayla, how there was a big simcha l'mayla. So he told them, this is what you saw me in my depressed mood, because I did everything I could and it didn't help, and I didn't know what's going to happen. Then I saw what was going on over here. He was afraid again that we're going to lose that because of those malachim. When I finally saw that the gzeder was bottled, that's why he saw me laughing. If you want to take this mice and interpret it in our situation, Chof Ches Nissen, the Rebbe said exactly what the Baal Shem said. I did everything I could, and I can't do anything anymore. I can't do anything anymore. I did as much as I could. That's what the Rebbe said. And the Rebbe said, no, it belongs to you. We are that man and woman that the Rebbe gave it over to us. And the Rebbe lost that bitochen that the Eibishter will make it good for Eden. And as the Baal Shem Tov said, he don't know where it's going to come from. So the Rebbe says, you take care of it and let's see what's going to happen. The Rebbe says, what happened over here? This woman came with a tiny HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has to have Rachmanos on Yidden. And the Malachim accepted it, most of the Malachim. And even that group of Malachim that first didn't say want it, they accepted it also. So what do we learn from here? That if the Tzadik Hador comes and says that he can't do anything anymore and he's giving it over to us, he's telling us, in this mice, he's telling us what to do. We have to come to the Eibish and say that he gave us enough Torahs, he gave us enough problems. The biggest Torah that he just gave us was Gimel Talmud, and how much is the Shia to wait any longer? So the Rebbe is waiting for us that we should be do what that man and woman did, especially what the woman did, because that made that whole opera l'mayla, that the woman came with a tiny Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it's enough Tzoros and not Mosai, and the thing has to finish.
So I think that from this maisim, what the Rebbe, the Rebbe told, and if you examine the details, it fits in exactly to our present situation now. And I think that this is also something that we should learn from this maisim and from many maisim. What the Rebbe always, why did the Rebbe always scream out Mosai, and why did the Rebbe always say that Tainus and Eibishten when the maisim, when he had the maisim with Lapine, if we remember that Shaf Sichah that the Rebbe had Takodesh Baruch Hu, why did he do let such a thing happen on Azay Vayter? I think that this is now a time that this, what the Rebbe was telling us, that we have to demand and we have to ask. And although people had tainus, how could you come and ask by Kodesh Baruch Hu? The famous sikhah that the Rebbe said about it, and he brought rayas that we definitely have to ask, because we say every day in the davening Hashem Adovet Avnocho, and in, we say in the benching we say B'nei Yerushalayim, all the different things that the Rebbe brought rayas. So I think that when Chassidim get together and we find ourselves in such a difficult situation and everybody is groping to find where do we go, how do we go, so from the things that the Rabbeim left us, from each part we have to take one and put it together and see how we can move along. And I think, my own personal opinion, maybe people think otherwise, but if we study this maisa carefully, we see how it fits into our situation, and I think that that should become a guideline for us, how we have to see that the thing should take an end, and that the Rebbe has to come back and take us out of Golos. L'chaim, l'chaim. Because this is the beginning, or this is the source of where the Rebbe was living. So, Mishas, you have Gimel Tammuz, and then you have Yutes Kislev, so you have Noach Losan B'Seifen. Now, the Rebbe was the first Rebbe, and the Rebbe is the last Rebbe. So you have Noach Losan B'Seifen, that is in the day of Geul of the Alter Rebbe, which is the beginning. What the Rebbe Rashab said, that's the Inyan from Yefusim and Isaiah Chutzah, that was the Ikah of the Alter Rebbe. You have the same thing that it reflects in the last Rebbe, that it's also on a day of Geul. That the histalkus of the Rebbe is also a period of Geula, which means to say that the histalkus and the Geula are going hand in hand. It's not that it's two separate things, that this histalkus is a part of this Geula that started in Gimel Tammuz. And that's why it's also interesting that on Gimel Tammuz, the Friedrich Rebbe said a maimer based on the Pasuk from Yehi Hashem Elokeinu Imonu Kasher Hoye Im Aveinu Al Yazveinu Ve'ad Yotzeinu, that the Rebbe connected Gimel Tammuz with the Inyan from Aveseinu. And that's exactly what we have now with Gimel Tammuz, that this connects us with the Rebbe, that we have the Rebbe with us all the time, and this takes us all the way back, that it's Noach Chalosim B'Seifim V'Seifim B'Techalosim. In other words, that if we try to think clearly what took place on Gimel Tammuz based on what the Chazal tells us, it tells us that Gimel Tammuz is a time that the Rebbe is still here and the Rebbe is with us. We don't see the Rebbe in a physical sense, but as I mentioned before, from all the different things that we see what taking place with the brachas, that the Rebbe is here with us. B'shas, we will really truly realize that the Rebbe is with us, then our behavior will be different. And I think that's also part of the B'shas that comes your test kislev, and we have to make the cheshbon and nefesh what's going to be the coming year. So in this situation that we are now, we have to think back what took place in the last year before your test kislev of this year, and we had a Gimel Tammuz. What is Gimel Tammuz supposed to affect us? And Gimel Tammuz, based on this thing, is supposed to affect us that we have to remember how much the Rebbe is with us now, more than he was before, and therefore how much we have to be more with the Rebbe than he was before. If we learn the Sichas of the Rebbe, of Topshin Yud and Topshin Yud Aleph, the Rebbe over there speaks very clearly that Chas v'Sholom for anyone to go into a matziv of Yiyush. How do you say Yiddish in English?
Despair.
Giving up. There's another word. Is there a better word than giving up? For Yiddish?
Despair.
Peres, no? Despair. That's Yiddish.
Yeah.
Yiddish Lay Medas means despair?
No, Yiddish Medas is a concept.
Huh?
Yiddish Lay Medas is a concept. It's not
a call despair. The Rebbe totally negated this whole Inyan of Yish of the spear. If I can't, in all the Sikha the Rebbe writes, and it's not Pshat that the Rebbe once said that people try to look at certain things of Torah as a refuge. that as if you have to get away from a certain psychological situation, so you can find a refuge in Teda, which is merely a cover of Chas v'Sholem, Teda Teda Semis. And if Teda says a certain thing, it's true until its fullest extent. V'Shas the Rebbe spoke those sichas, there was some chachomim that wanted to say that the Rebbe wants us to make us feel good, that we should feel, you know, more encouraged and stronger. So we're saying these things. Chas v'Sholem, when the Rebbe said those things, these are the things what the Rebbe saw as they actually were. So B'shas the Rebbe spoke those sichos in Tovshin Yud, Tovshin Yud Aleph, they apply to us now much more than they did then, because then there was a Rebbe, and now unfortunately we don't have a living Rebbe. So it's important for us to study those sichos, and from those sichos we should take the guidance and instructions how we have to conduct ourselves today. Now, in I mentioned before in the sicha from the Friedrich Rebbe from Yutes Kislev, that he said in Tovshin Zayin, there's a very interesting idea, a vort, that the Rebbe writes over there. And the Rebbe says, what's the advantage of Achsidus Farbrengen? And Achsidus Farbrengen, the way he describes it over there, not the way he says that we have it now, that this one says a good vort, he says a nice word and the people laugh, and this one says another good vort. He says Achsidus Farbrengen is to discuss together how to do things better. And he says, even if sometimes the one who's speaking, I'm not speaking about myself, speaking about what I've spoken about Bechassidim, that he has to sometimes say a harsh word, he has to demand something from the people who are listening. If he doesn't do that, he is, how do you say it, not negating his responsibility of what he really is supposed to do. If he was appointed to be the one to speak, and he's not demanding of the listeners what they have to hear, he says he is not doing what his job is. So he writes over there, what's the inyan of oyer, of light, and chaim, warmth? What's the difference between the two? And he says a very interesting thing. He says when the sun is shining, so if you have a glass window, he says that the rays of the sun penetrate and they come into the room where the sun is able to come in through the window pane. What happens, he says, if you take a piece of metal and you put it on the window? He says the ray of the sun will not enter. But if the ray of the sun hits that metal long enough, it warms up the metal. And then the heat of that metal comes into the room. And he said, this is what a Chassidus Farbrengen is. Not always is it possible, he says, to bring the light of Chassidus into the people. What we could do, he says, the Chassidus Farbrengen should warm up the people, that they'll get warmed up outwardly. But eventually that outward warmth will penetrate inwardly, that will have an effect on them, on their behavior and their conduct. And he said, this is why a Chassidus Farbrengen is important, because a Chassidus Farbrengen, the Rebbe says, gives the Warmkeit. Although it may not give the light, but in the meantime it gives the Warmkeit. And that's why it's important, he said, that Chassidim should always get together and speak about things that will give the warmth and the Warmkeit of the thing. And he gives a moshul over there, that there was a Chassidus family who had a son who, in the course of time, this goes back in Europe, in the course of time, he slipped and he departed from, not only from the Chassidus way, from the Torah mitzvahs way. Years later, Chassidim found him, and it was Yutes Kislev, and they invited him that he should come to Yutes Kislev Dikka Farbrengen. And at first he was reluctant. He said, where do I come? I'm far away from all these things, I don't know about it. They said, come anyway. You remember when you were young, you used to go to Yutes Kislev, that was the biggest yontif by Chassidim. So he agreed. He came to the Farbrengen, he sat over there for a number of hours, and as a result of that Farbrengen, he became a Baal Tshuva. What happened, he said, what was discussed at that Farbrengen? At that Farbrengen they were discussing how his father conducted himself, and how his Rebbe conducted himself, and how another chassid that he knew was doing things. And they were speaking in such a form, the Rebbe writes over there, that his inside became warmed up. And as a result of this chamimus that he heard by the Chassidus Farbrengen, it had such an effect on him that he became a true Baal Tshuva. So this is what the Rebbe tells us about Yutes Kislev, that Chassidim have to remember that
Chassidus Fabrengen is a time that it's not just the passing time to tell a nice mice and tell a nice and a glad vertel. The inyan of Chassidus Fabrengen is that you have to try to utilize that period, taka telling a mice and taka telling a vort, but the vort has to be in such a way that people should get warmed up and should get devarmed, that they should try to do things with more chayis, with more levitikite than they did it before. In that sikha, the Rebbe says that he was once sitting in his room and he felt very lonely, and he started to remember the sipurim that he heard from his teachers. And he said, although when he was young, each story that he heard from his teacher, he tried to visualize how the people were behaving. He said if he heard a story from Chumash, he tried to see how Avraham Avinu was standing and how he did what he was doing. If he heard a story about the Baal Shem Tov, he wanted to visualize, although he never saw the Baal Shem's face, but he visualized where the Baal Shem Tov was standing and how he was acting, how he was doing things. Why? Because he felt by this, the thing became a live effect on him. He said that this, that time when he was in his room feeling alone, so he started to remind himself of certain stories that his teachers told him when he was a young child. And he tried to visualize now, the same way that he did when he was young, the different people about whom they were speaking. And he said that this changed him completely. I don't know what it means by Rebbe, that he wasn't in this mood and that mood. I don't know what that means. But Rebbe, but that's what he writes. And just by this thinking of these things, it changed him over completely, that he became in a different situation. So if by a Rebbe, who Bechlau doesn't have this whole thing, but still in his level he felt that he needed it, how much more so in our situation that we have it now? So Zev is getting late and we have to finish. And the Rebbe writes in that Sikha that his father told him, the Rebbe Rashab, that after every Chassidus Shehabrengen and Chassidim get together, there has to be a result. What do we take out of the Fabrengen? I'm not going to make any results for anybody else. I'm making results for myself when I'm figuring for myself what I'm taking out of this Fabrengen. But being that the Rebbe said that from every Fabrengen there has to be a Bechein, so I'm sure that everybody who was sitting by Yutes Kislev Fabrengen, and we told Verte from the Rabbeim, we told stories about the Rabbeim, about Chassidim, and each story has certain ideas. So I'm sure that everyone will try to take something with them from all these stories that they heard from the Rebbes and all the Werte, that there should be a Pelmamishtike Inyan that's going to be a result of the Fabrengen that we spend so much time together. L'chaim, l'chaim. The Davis is a help, and that with all our efforts, that the Rebbe will come back and take us out of Golos. Okay, good job to everybody. More.